You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Greg Cody, I was a little bit disorganized here, and in the local hour, I didn't get to some things that you wanted to talk about, including what the Dolphins have done or not done in free agency. Tyreek Hill has recently said that we all owe Chris Greer an apology. I don't know if we owe the general manager of the Dolphins an apology for what it is that they lost early in free agency, but you feel how about how Dolphin free agency has gone?
I think, you know, Christian Wilkins is a huge loss. That loss leaves a crater in the defense. So I don't know if you can equivocate that, because that's one of the biggest losses suffered by any team in free agency. But
he's also one of the most overpaid guys, I'd say, in free agency.
I don't think he was overpaid. Now, Robert Hunt,
27 per year.
Robert Hunt was grossly overpaid. I think Wilkins got what he deserved, and what I hope the Dolphins might have finagled and maneuvered to give him, to keep him. But having said that, I think they've broken even on the rest of their losses and gains. I think Jordan Brooks is going to be a nice linebacker for them. They gave him the most guaranteed money of anybody. I think the sneaky good signing is Jonnu Smith, the tight end, who's been underrated, productive throughout, a FIU kid, local kid, underrated, productive in his career, coming off his best season in the NFL. I think that's a really good season, because tight end's been a position for 2 years that has really underperformed in McDaniel's offense.
I think the context matters here. If you just look at the names we lost and the names we added, then this is not a good offseason so far. But if you pay attention to the cap hell that this team was in, I think it's very respectable what they did.
Can you guys find for me how Fuller was as a corner, where he ranked last year? Getting him for $16 million over a couple of years to replace Xavien Howard, who was great for them almost the entire time he played for them, without equivocation. I think that's a big loss.
Yeah, less so lately, though. The past couple of years, his game had gone down.
And he just is injured a lot.
Yeah, he was injured a lot. I wasn't particularly surprised when they released him for cap reasons. But Christian Wilkins is the one that you can't – no ifs, ands, or buts. Huge loss.
Didn't really answer my question at all, though, about Fuller. You did come around and make your point again about Wilkins.
It's a tough spot for Greg Corney.
I mean,
I wanted to talk about Dolphin free agency.
You want the rank of Fuller right off the top of his head.
I want, from someone who's covered football for 50 years, okay, is the longest standing member of any kind at the Miami Herald.
I mean, well, you covered football for 30 years. How did Kendall Fuller do? It's a tough question.
Thank you, Mike.
For the corn king, like, you don't. He knows corn. He doesn't know PFF rankings. Give us a second.
Yeah.
We'll try to find out.
I mean, I don't cover the Dolphins full time, as you may or may not know.
You wanted to talk about Dolphins.
I did in 1990 and 1991, if we're being exact.
You wanted to talk about Dolphin free agency.
Right, and you're yelling at me because I don't know how Fuller ranked on the PFF rankings of quarterbacks.
He's the corn king, not the corner king.
Thank you.
I am yelling at you.
Great quarterback.
I am yelling at you because.
You don't know either.
I am. It's not the ranking that I want. I'm yelling at you because you are saying it's net even because they trade or they get rid of Baker and they replace him with a linebacker whose name you know from Seattle and you like. And so you're saying that's a push. And I'm asking you if Howard Fuller is a push.
I think it's if I'm looking at the stats, I think it's close to a push. Xavier Howard is a big name guy. Okay, but he's not as good as he was 3 years ago. The same with Jordan Poyer, the safety they got from Buffalo. He's a big-name player who's no longer a big player. That's why they get him on a cheap one-year deal.
There were more of those this year than there have ever been, right? All of these contracts are a lot smaller in length than they've ever been. I don't recall this many one-year and two-year contracts for players like Poyer. That's a bit of a seismic shift in the way all of these people are doing business, right?
I'm seeing him ranked eighth in the highest graded cornerbacks from last season, according to PFF.
It was his second best year, according to PFF. He had 83.1%.
Wow. What was Howard?
That's a different. Sorry. That's a different.
Not in the top eight.
I don't know. Greg?
Well, geez, I've memorized the entire list, but I've forgotten it.
Moving on to other subjects, I have noticed, as has Stu Gotts, that Omaha Productions of Peyton Manning and Eli Manning has gotten into the content game in a number of different ways. They're selling a lot of stuff to ESPN, Stu Gotts. They're doing a four-part docuseries on Caitlin Clark, Kiki Rice, and Camilla Cardoso, and also, because they're in this game as well, I believe they were involved with the quarterback series on Netflix. They couldn't get four more quarterbacks to do it, so they've pivoted to receivers.
Wow, I love that.
They are now doing receivers. It's Davante Adams, Debo Samuel, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and George Kittle, which I would have saved for tight end.
Different show.
Seems like it's a different show, but George Kittle is also in there with wide receivers, and I'm pretty sure this show is only happening because they couldn't get any more quarterbacks. They got Kirk Cousins, they got Patrick Mahomes, they got Marcus Mariota, and then they bailed on the whole thing because quarterbacks didn't want to do it anymore. But also yesterday in the content game, Stu Gotts, and I told you guys and you laughed at me, I told you J.J. Redick's going to make more money in the media than he made as a player. Now he has signed up with LeBron James to do a podcast, and this one will test J.J. Redick's theory because J.J. Redick has been on First Take and said, basketball fans don't actually want to be educated. Basketball fans want hot takes. They want something that is more general. Now, obviously, this is a generalization because there are a lot of people right now in the content game, Stu Gotts, that are fragmenting it. And there are a lot of people who do want something vastly more informed than what just happened when I asked Greg Cody about corners. Like, they do want maximum information for their betting odds. They want to be smarter. You cannot be smarter than LeBron James talking about what they're going to be talking about, J.J. Redick, and this is the strength of LeBron James, that as opposed to the normal podcast way that we do this, where someone like a black guy gets a white host to host the podcast and have that palatable to a broad audience, he gets a longtime veteran of the NBA, J.J. Redick, to host a podcast in which LeBron James's mind, we will have access to something that I will find fascinating, but is going deep in the weeds on basketball. And I do wonder, is this going to test J.J. Redick's theory that basketball fans don't actually want to be broadly educated about what they're watching? Because the clips I've seen so far of what LeBron is doing is deep in the weeds, and basketball aficionados will love it, but the rest of us are going to be like, we don't know basketball this way.
Well, speak for yourself, Dan.
It appears that it was all recorded over like a certain block of time. So they're not talking about, you know, ESPN can be super reactionary with a play calling decision in the Western Conference semis. LeBron's not that available. So if you're going to make a podcast series going X's and O's in basketball, but all the X's and O's are in a vacuum where plays that once were, it'll be really digestible on social media. J.J. Redick and his video team with Jason Gallagher, they know how to do this, and that's why LeBron is partnering with him. I'd probably take exception to J.J. Redick hosting it because this is very much a collaboration between their two companies, but I would want more. I see that. I'm like, cool. do the late game decision by the Orlando Magic last night. Let's do that. But unfortunately, they're not that available to me.
I was thinking of Dan the other day. I was like, damn, you know what? Dan was right. I think J.J. Redick might make more money.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Don Lebatard.
Fans cheer that type of stuff. Tom Brady went down with an Achilles the only time he got hurt in his entire career, and I was fist pumping in my living room at home because the Jets finally had a chance to win a division. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that is one of the most amazing sentences you've ever uttered.
Stugatz.
From the maker of Trust Me, Don't Trust Me comes, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to apologize. You are amazing.
Thank you. I know.
You are a flabbergasting delight. You happen upon genius comedy by accident.
That's my gift.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Are you excited about this?
I'm so excited. I have many thoughts, and I can't wait to hear all of yours.
Well, we've already started. That's Charlotte Wilder, and we're having her on because I have heard a lot of people, Stugatz, criticizing the documentary on Apple. It's very big, The Dynasty, about the New England Patriots. It's 10 episodes, and Charlotte worked as a staff writer for the Boston Globe from 2014 to 2016. And I heard some initial criticism about Brady being boring or Aaron Hernandez stuff being glossed over. But the most recent emotional criticism I've heard is a lot of Boston fans are not happy at what they view in the last two episodes as a hatchet job on Bill Belichick, on blaming Bill Belichick for everything went wrong. So I have not seen the last two episodes of this 10-part series, Charlotte. Thank you for joining us. What were your thoughts?
Thank you for having me, Dan. It's so funny being on this side of the Zoom screen. You know, my thoughts, it's funny because I thought it was a very entertaining documentary. Like, I was really glued to it. It was also nostalgic for me because the early parts of it were, you know, I was in high school and this team came out of nowhere and was suddenly good. And we were like, oh my God, this is incredible. But then the second part of it, I was like, this is my career. And I largely think a lot of the reason I was able to have a career in sports media is because I knew so much about the Patriots and they were the main story all the time. Like, working at Boston.com during Deflategate, a Super Bowl, and the Aaron Hernandez trial was absolutely in. We had to buy Chartbeat measures the traffic on your website. We had to buy the next level of Chartbeat because we had so many clicks. Like, it didn't matter how you could write like one sentence. If the headline had Deflategate in it, it was like the best thing anybody had ever read.
And what did the documentary teach you? And I don't think you came close to answering my question about whether or not Belichick was treated fairly in it.
I don't think Belichick did himself any favors in it. Part of me, so for those of you who haven't seen it, basically Belichick is sitting there and it is very clear that he does not want to be sitting there. It's like one of his press conferences. And in the doc, over the course of the doc, you see his communication style completely change. Like, up and from in the beginning parts, he's joking around, he's open with people, he's talking to reporters, and then it becomes, we're on to Cincinnati, which they did not include in the doc. And I was like, well, that's his greatest quote of all time. But I think that I sort of admire Bill for not feeling the need to defend himself. I think that Kraft's, you know, the filmmakers have said that Kraft did not have final say over this. But there is a very heavy Kraft slant to this, because how could there not be? The power dynamics of the team owner, not only the owner of the team, one of the most powerful people in the NFL, one of the most powerful people in the country, sitting there telling his version of events, who's going to go up against that? And I'm not saying Kraft didn't tell the truth. He just told his version of that. And and his version of that was that he really threw Bill Belichick under the bus. So I don't know how you're going to get anyone to go up against him. And I think the power dynamics of the doc were the main issue with it, to be honest.
Did you find yourself recoiling on Belichick's behalf? Did you find yourself saying, this is not fair, this is crafted by Kraft?
I mean, yeah, there were moments. Like, I think when they talk about Deflategate, about saying that Bill threw Tom under the bus, they didn't mention that Bill was the one who introduced the ideal gas law into the conversation in a press conference in January. I think it was 2015, where 16, I don't know, guys, time is a social construct. But he was the one who was like, you know, when you heat the ball up, and he put out this bogus scientific theory that was not true. But that made everybody in New England a physicist for a second, which is my favorite part of the whole Deflategate.
And the media,
thing,
the media. I remember reading a little bit of Ted Wells, and all of a sudden I knew all sorts of things about gas law I didn't know before.
Oh, yeah. The Wells report. Like, I cannot stress to you, like, Ted Wells in 2016 in New England would have had to enter the witness protection program. The amount of people who knew who this investigator for the, like, this was such a huge deal. This was like the backdrop to anything happening in New England, even if you didn't like football. This was just like in the air, literally. It was a gas law. Ha ha. But it was nuts. It was nuts. And I think I did find some of the criticism of Bill pretty heavy, but I also think Belichick largely did that to himself, because he did create this pretty hostile environment, where I've talked to players who played there in that season, and they were like, it was absolutely horrible, but you went there because you would win a ring. And that's what Devin McCourty says in the doc. He's like, you know, winning was the reward. And Ernie Adams, you know, Bill Belichick's football genius, even though Bill's also a football genius, he was like, you know, people talk about like not having fun. Like, you have fun when the confetti's falling after you won the Super Bowl.
You've got Bob Kraft quoting Giselle after he invites the Bradys over to his house. That effing Belichick, he doesn't treat my Tommy like a man.
Yeah. Show of hands, who, not to say that Mr. Kraft isn't telling the truth. I mean, I'm going to need another source saying that she actually said that. That sounds like a perfectly crafted, get it, line. Because I don't know. Then that was my problem with the doc. A lot of the things that Kraft said, it was just like, yep, he said it. And even when he talks about, you know, his sort of, not rags to riches story, but he's like, I was able to buy this team because of my hard work, and I turned this paper company, like, his wife, Myra Kraft, her family, the Hiatt family, H-I-A-T-T, in Worcester, Massachusetts, had a fortune from her father's packing company, and Robert Kraft had a 50% interest in that, and that is the capital that he used to be able to buy an NFL team. You can't, like, you need so much money to buy an NFL team. And at the time, it was the highest price anyone had paid for it. So there were a lot of things where it's like, we weren't getting lies, but we also weren't necessarily getting like the full fleshed out truth, which I also understand, because this was a doc that was meant to entertain people who weren't like as in the weeds on Myra Kraft as I happen to be.
I'm surprised by the reaction, because I figured all Boston fans, Patriot fans, just figured the same thing. Yeah, Belichick was the reason this dynasty broke up, right?
I mean, I was pretty surprised too, Stu, but I was also surprised. I think that when, you know, when it's one of your own, as a lot of people in New England think of Belichick, it's like, well, like, we can criticize him, you can't.
Right.
Like, well, how dare you take down this guy who gave us six championships and who everybody, I've seen so many people be like, and the defense in that last Super Bowl win. And I'm like, that was the worst game ever to watch. But yes, Bill, it was his Mona Lisa. Like, we'll give him that.
Charlotte, it's hard for me to believe that irascible, curmudgeonly Bill Belichick was agreeable for this project. What do you think?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I feel like that was, he was still the coach of New England. He sat for that interview before the 2023 season. And I feel like this was very much a Kraft directive of like, I don't know this for sure. This is speculation on my part. I feel like there's probably a, you will sit down for this and you will do it. And Belichick treated it the way he's treated his whole career, which is that he does not feel the need to defend himself. He didn't get into it. And a lot of people have compared the dynasty to The Last Dance. And I think there's a huge difference there, because in The Last Dance, you had players going at it. Like, you know, Michael Jordan would say something, Horace Grant would say something, Scottie Pippen would say something. It was fun. They were all into it. They were all playing on the same level. And then for this, you really just had Bill like taking the punches and not fighting back, which I think is actually a very smart PR strategy, because look at the response. He's almost done more for his image in taking it in this doc for people in New England than he could have anywhere else, because like, look at the last 4 years of the Patriots. It was not good.
I will tell people, having been involved in some of the negotiations around Jerry Jones's 10-part documentary on Netflix, that I can almost assure you that Belichick only sat down for that because Bob Kraft and the top of AFL said, we'll give you maximum ability to have access to our entire team because Apple is spending more on these things than anyone else, making these big giant things with big giant brands. And I'm guessing that Belichick lost whatever the power struggle was there. You don't want to do this interview? Too bad. You're going to do these interviews whether you want to or not. What else did you learn, though, that you didn't know, Charlotte?
I feel like a lot of stuff I had ideas about, but I think that they confirmed a lot of things. I think Brady saying like, yes, I was fed up. I think Kraft saying, you know, that last Super Bowl did save Bill's job, basically. I think stuff in the beginning I found really, really interesting. You know, I've talked to Drew Bledsoe before. He actually told me that after that Super Bowl, he went skiing and he in Montana, where he still has a place, and he was crying into his ski goggles on the chairlift, which is an image that will last with me forever because he seems like just a really lovely dude. But I think that also the comparisons to how Bill handled the Bernie Kosar stuff in Cleveland and then to how gutsy it truly was for him to stick with Brady when Drew Bledsoe was the golden boy, you know. There were little things like that were confirmed. I also think that just how much players hated playing for him, for Bill, later in the dynasty, if you will. I think I had inklings of that. Again, I had talked to players before, but for them to say that, like, that's a very public, that's a big thing to say publicly that a lot of people are going to see. So they really had to mean it.
I need to get unfiltered honesty from Charlotte Wilder on her level of embarrassment and shame that her co-host on Oddball is now having his integrity impugned by others, his credibility impugned by others, because his jump shot and more specifically his follow through have now diluted the credibility of his takes. What are your thoughts, Charlotte, on what happened here with the spasming at the end of Amin's fingertips and the air ball?
Okay, so first of all, I've got to stand by my co-host. I'm gonna say what he said, which was, "Oh, you haven't ever had a bad moment," which I think you can all imagine Amin saying. Also, my hand has been like, I've just like thrown stuff at people before. I was eating a biscuit the other day, and I just like threw a piece of it at my husband. He was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm so sorry. I have no idea. I lost control." So I don't think I'm the right person to like fully.
Were you angry?
Because I think the internet has done that.
Yeah, well, you're a good teammate, but not a great interview in that you're leaving him unscathed here when he deserves scathing. But why did you throw a biscuit at your husband?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying, Dan. Like, my hand just spasmed and I threw it. And he was like, whoa. And I was like, whoa, I'm so sorry. Which is why I'm just being honest about the place that I'm coming from. That is one of the funniest videos I've ever seen. I saw that. I was dying laughing. I was like, oh, I mean, like, yes. No way. Of course. Like, of course. Of course he got caught on camera having this happen. He, on Oddball, alleged that there is no way to confirm it is him. But, I mean, we come on.
Speaking of physics, how does he follow through to the left and the goes ball outside? Goes right?
Yeah, right. Circle change. Where would it have gone without that follow through?
Ramadan guys.
I think there is like some wild spin on that, right? Like that's how that has to happen.
The wild spin was yesterday when he came on the air and said it was a win for him. Like that was ridiculous.
I mean, that's like he would have done really well in the Patriots press conferences.
Charlotte, good seeing you. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Dan Le Batard.
He, for some reason, would do a Gary Stevens impersonation of the offensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins and the University of Miami. Go ahead. Do you want to do that for the people? Your Gary Stevens impersonation? You want to give people some of that? 30 years in the making.
Stugatz.
What? Who needs me?
Oh, that?
What?
Do that my whole life.
You're going to go to Buffalo and win with Bernie Pomeli? Who needs me?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Greg Cody, do you have a back in my day today?
I don't. It's March. And I spent so much energy, you know, thinking about my bracket, preparing a popcorn recipe. There was just so much going on in my life this past week.
It's March.
It's March.
Preparing a bracket.
My bracket.
A popcorn recipe?
Yeah, I've got I don't fly by the seat of my pants here. I prepare as I do for the show, as I do for my own podcast, The Greg Cody Show. Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Featuring Greg Cody.
Well, fine. But, the popcorn thing and the bracket, I want to nail the bracket. I want to get 100% this year.
Mm-hmm.
Came close last year. So, you know.
Greg, why? What are you doing, Greg? What are you doing? You didn't come close to getting 100%. Like, what are you talking about? Why is it that you come in here and you're just spewing gibberish about preparation? You don't prepare for anything.
I do.
I sit in the meetings. You don't sit in any of the meetings.
I stand.
You're outside during the meetings, and on top of that, you come in here, and you're damn near 70, you don't run, and you think you can run a six-minute mile.
Only because I did a charity 5K a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago.
Now, granted,
that was before I was born.
Granted, it was half running and half walking, but when I was running, I felt like I was on a good pace.
It depends on how fast you go. You at least start out your mile, because then maybe you can afford to walk the tail end as you beat 6 minutes.
Right.
No. Maybe he's like super fast the first 3/4 of it, and then he has time to spare to leisurely stroll.
Don't underestimate me. That's all I'm saying. I may not look like it.
Greg, I'm going to underestimate you on getting 100% of your NCAA picks right.
I said almost.
And running a six-minute mile. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and feel very comfortable underestimating you there.
Right. Who do you like in the East?
Do it in your own peril.
Who do you like in the East, Greg?
You know, I'm
he's
in
preparing. He's preparing. Oh, he's not yet prepared to answer that question. He's too busy preparing for the show and preparing his popcorn recipe. Oh,
you know, three of the representatives from the Final Four last year are all in that region. Not sure what happened to the fourth.
Yeah.
Chris Cody, can you update us on what it is that we're doing in our tournament that's better? Well, it can't be worse than what Billy did yesterday. Can you update us better on what our tournament is? Because we're getting a lot of backlash, and I'm not surprised by this at all. The Looks Like tournament is very popular. And Billy, as he likes to do, has made a mess of something. So how many songs do we have? We have one song bracket. How many songs can we give the people? Because we're not even tying this to the games this year, are we?
Well, we kind of are roughly, but the winners will be decided by our fans this year. We are tying them to games. We will have matchups, but fans will decide the votings, not the voting. Fans will vote, and they'll decide who wins.
Exactly.
We have four regions this year. In the past, it's been all Looks Like. This year, we have Greg Cody songs. Greg Cody moments, Greg Cody songs in one category. We have the club sounds in one category. We have Bracket of Death, the best costumes in one category. And then we have regular songs, the rest of the songs. There's Greg Cody, and then there's songs. Greg Cody is in both
Who
of those
planned
two categories.
This? It was all Billy?
It was a team effort, but yeah, yes.
There's a committee, Dan. Greg, you have an entire bracket.
It will all make sense. We will tweet out the bracket.
Or a commit me. You're trying to get me to commit it because you're making this messier and messier than it needs to be. One of our signature most popular things.
It's not messy, really. There's a song. Right now, we're going to do the first thing we're going to preview right here is from the song region, okay?
Yeah.
It's a play-in game. 2-10 seeds, the first song. Is Franco Harris.
Third down and nine. Bradshaw. Franco Harris. Harris.
Franco Harris. Franco Harris. Pride and joy of the Emerald Isle. Franco Harris. Franco Harris. Give him half a yard, he'll take a mile. And if Terry Bradshaw knows what's up, he'll audible. Again, 'cause you hand it off to O'Harris and he scores it every time.
Bradshaw trying to get away, and his pass.
It's one of the great mistakes made on our show, Chris Cody, right. Thinking
I still can't believe
it. It was a bit.
Someone.
No, it couldn't have been less than a bit.
I can't believe it.
So that is 1-10 seed, and it is.
I was beginning to explain what it was. I was beginning to do that. For those who might not know, there are still those out there that his name, the famous running back's name, is not Frank O'Harris.
I can't believe he is
not Irish. It's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable mistake. I understand why Chris Cody was trying to move right past it, but it's a flatly unbelievable mistake. What is that playing against?
That is playing the other 10 seed Duncan Robinson song.
And here's to you, Duncan Robinson. We all love how much your game has grown. Whoa, you're hitting threes, Duncan Robinson. Got an addition to our big O. That's Orlando in Toronto.
All right, so that is the play-in in our songs region. And now the play-in games that we have in our Greg Cody region are also songs. 2-16 seeds. Greg and his wife singing "Tell Me It's Cold Outside."
Oh God!
Could have been in the I slept in too late.
Well, I took the dog outside.
Now I will be raised.
Your laziness I will chide.
A little heads up.
Just look it up for yourself.
Would have been nice.
Why is technology your vice?
It's cold enough for snow flurries.
Greg, you could Google it in a hurry.
I can feel the chill rush through the door.
The high today is 74.
But couldn't you say?
There's no need to tell you.
That it is cold outside.
Were you there that that day, Chris, when your dad criticized your mother for not telling him that it was 75 degrees out because he wanted a warning? On
it's an all-time Greg Cody. Just take and just ridiculousness. So that 16 seed is competing against another Greg Cody song. And of course, that is called the Gregmas song.
The classic.
My nuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost snipping at my ass. Yuletide carols.
All right, enough of this.
Being sung.
What? Enough of this.
Beautiful.
Disrespect to a 16 seed.
So the listeners, you will see in the next coming days on our social medias for your chance to vote on this. We will release the entire bracket so you can see how it's all laid out. I'm telling you, it's much more easier to understand than we've presented.
Great. I love that about us.
But I think the fans will enjoy being able to vote for this type of stuff. And as the tournament goes, we will update it.
So those two songs are in the Greg Cody bracket, not in the song bracket.
Correct.
All right. I can't lose.
Yep.
It's just all about Greg Cody. Greg, he couldn't be happier. Greg. He's been drifting for the first 2 hours of the show, but we have his attention back now.
Right.
And
Greg
I
bracket. It's my new nickname.
No, it's not the Corn King.
I was getting used to that.
Yeah, it's Greg Bracket.
Please reconsider, Greg Corny.
And by the way, March Sadness is presented by Get Your Guide. Discover over 100,000 unforgettable travel experiences in the U.S. and around the world at getyourguide.com.
Good job. So what happened to March Sadness? The woke mob got it?
I don't know.
Why would your new nickname be Greg Bracket?
Almost 100%.
Yeah, two syllables. Fits. You know, if you wanted to chant it, the chant would remain the same. That's always my first thought when crafting a nickname. You know,
how would the chant go?
Bracket, bracket, bracket.
Right. Seems a little fast.
We want bracket.
You don't want that backing up your certain quarterback.
Brackets, 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 brackets.
That's much better. Greg Bracket.
Oh, I like that.
Greg Bracket.
Greg Bracket. Oh, I thought we were going to keep going. Sorry.
Do like Goldberg. Bracket.
Stugatz is saying that Belichick is just going to go to Philadelphia games this year and start chants at Sirianni.
Greg and I were discussing this. Belichick, who I think desperately wants to get back into the NFL as a head coach, not a coordinator, he should go to one of those places. San Francisco was throwing that idea around.
Belichick is a coordinator.
San Francisco, the audacity of their coach to think Belichick would want to come there.
Come on. Come on.
I'm serious. Kyle Shanahan said that.
Come on.
I have him as a strength coach.
But anyway, I have him as an Eagles fan. He goes to every Eagles game, okay? He wears a Philadelphia Eagles jersey, and every time they're down 7-0, he gets the chant started. The Belichick chant, the Nick Sirianni's chants, all the great, and he gets it started. I love that idea.
But Sirianni and Belichick both make the two-syllable thing hard.
They do.
I mean, Nick sucks, I suppose, is what they could do if you want to make it very simple. But you need it to be two syllables. Sirianni is too wordy. Sirianni's going to hurt you in that haiku challenge as well because it's too many syllables.
Yeah, four syllables on one name. I did it with Laranjega, though. Laranjega weeps. Right?
It was your greatest contribution today.
Thank you.
The Laranjega haiku.
That's right.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text Thin to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text Thin to 200-300. That's Thin to 200-300. Thin to 200-300.